Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Now you're all very, very welcome back, and actor strike or no actor strike, we are still going to go through the big and small screen releases of the week ahead. And joining me now are Irish Times film correspondent Donald Clark and freelance pop culture journalist Zara Hederman. You're both very, very welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Zara, I'm going to start with the big pink one, Greta Gerwig's Barbie. We did a whole segment on it last week and how she was a pioneer for all of things. But the maelstrom of pink with the Barbie press tour.
Yeah, it's fascinating, and I think that has been one of the kind of main charms and attractions of this film. You've had everything from, like, you know, the Barbie dream house pop up in Malibu, Margot Robbie of course doing an excellent job at recreating Barbie's outfits through the years. But what I think is so fascinating as well about this film, and I'm so excited to see Greta Gerwig's take on this, because I always love her kind of sardonic view of, like, the human condition, narcissism, and also people who kind of struggle with their identity. And I think with Barbie, that's a perfect one, because we all have this, you know, perfectly plastic view of Barbie. She's perfect. But in this, we have Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling, and the two are excommunicated from Barbie land and they're sent to the real world. So they do, of course, go on a bit of a journey of self-discovery. So really excited for this. We have a wider cast of, like, Will Ferrell, Nicola Coughlan, Dua Lipa. And then I thought Greta Gerwig's influences for this film were quite interesting, very varied. So you have everything from The Wizard of Oz, The Red Shoes, 2001, A Space Odyssey, The Godfather, and Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And from the trailers that we've seen, it is big, it's bold, and it seems like it's going to be a great time.
It is. It's out. It's finally out next Friday, July 21st. Do you think it's going to be something that could yet receive recognition for the Academy Awards? A pink carpet?
Absolutely, yeah. That'd be great to see. And the early reviews of the film have been crediting Robbie and Gosling's excellent performances. Also, the costume department has been praised, and the story too. Like, Greta Gerwig is such an accomplished writer, and I could absolutely see some accolades.
And of course, because it's out on the same day as Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer, it is, has even spawned the new meme Barbenheimer. But Donald, far away from Barbie and plastic pink, you've been looking at The Deepest Breath. It's a documentary with a big Irish connection.
Yeah, Laura McGann, Irish filmmaker, made a bit of a splash in the trade papers.
I know, there.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm really
terrible.
Take a deep breath. And so on. And we'll continue in puntastic mode. Yes, it was actually impressive. The film, before it landed in... Well, first, you got a place in Sundance, which is always an impressive thing to get. And before that happened, it was sold to Netflix, who we should say, and to credit Netflix, are pretty into cinemas this weekend before it lands, to use the verb of choice these days, on the streaming service on Wednesday. But for documentary about the terrifying business of freediving, which is this sport where, without any scuba equipment, people descend down a rope for as far as they can go, grab a disc which demonstrates how far they've gone, and come back up again, hopefully, to sport. And it focuses, it gathers around to two characters in particular, Alicia Zucchini, who's an Italian, who's the current record holder, and Stephen Keenan from Dublin, who began as
an amateur
explorer. He moved on to doing freediving, then came around to the business of being a safety diver, which is in itself a very dangerous business in this sport, because you've got to go down again without equipment, and it's a dangerous business.
Now, so how did you get the material to be able to capture and film all of this?
Well, we're living in a world where people film everything, and in particular in an environment like this. So she has an advantage there in that, you know, in that the participants in this sport film everything. So she has that. Now, there's a certain degree of recreation going on that they mentioned. I mean, there's a statement at the beginning where they point out that almost all this is real footage, but they've touched up bits here and there. But it is, for the most part, what you're looking at is stuff that actually happened on screen.
Does it answer, Donald, the question that I have in my mind, and I've seen some variations of this in films, is why people would do
not
this?
Not entirely, no. I don't think it does quite answer that question. And I suppose it's very difficult to get inside the mind of somebody that who becomes involved in a sport like this. It is certain, there was a documentary a few years ago on free climbing, which was in many ways almost more terrifying than this, in that you can see your demise if you look over your left shoulder. I don't think it quite gets to the heart of that. That would be one of my few criticisms of the film, which otherwise I thought was terrific and terrifying and claustrophobic in ways that it's obviously supposed to be. But I don't think it quite gets at what is that, what drives somebody to, what motivates that urge to put yourself in such immediate danger.
But a good buy, a good investment for Netflix?
I think so, yes. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. It's ridiculous we're talking about the Oscars already on this program. Certainly,
it's the way we roll.
We're only in the middle of July. Certainly Netflix will try and position it for Best Documentary Oscar. We'll see how that goes. I wouldn't rule that out.
Timing's everything. You're both excited to talk about the new season of The Bear. Yeah. I think, Zara, it's hitting Disney Plus on July the 19th. Does it live up to the hype, Zara Hederman?
It does, and even more so. If you watch season one, you'll realise just how instantly people fell in love with this show about The Beef, which was a sandwich shop set in Chicago. Jeremy Allen White, who plays Carney Borzato, whose brother has recently deceased. Season two, I was really curious to see where they would take the story. So now The Beef is closed down. They're working together to build like a kind of Michelin star aspiring restaurant. So what's really fascinating about season two is the restaurant itself is closed. It's under renovations, but it's still an anchoring force for the series. But we get to see some of the characters like in their outside life. So, you know, Marcus, one of the characters, his mother is terminally ill. Sydney, who is also in there, she's doing a lot more food research. People are going further afield. And then there's also a bit of a love story that develops into season two. So it does give us a lot more, but we still have those anchoring themes of, you know, human connection, grief, chaos. So it really, really, for me, I loved season two. It was excellent.
And Donald, to continue with your terrible puns, did it whet your appetite at all, this one?
Yeah, I haven't actually watched the second series yet, so I'm looking forward to it very much. I thought it was terrific, and the characterization is terrific, the acting is very good, but I think what really sets it apart for me is the filmmaking and the camera work and the editing, or lack of formal editing, in the one take episode that they had in the first series. It really gets that kind of sickening sweaty thud of real life in a professional kitchen, which I mean, it's always been sort of a shorthand for a kind of low level hell, and those of us who've worked there as younger people will confirm that it is very much like that. I think it absolutely gets that, the fast camera moves, the hectic editing, and all done.
I think restaurants are essential. Everyone should work in them as a valuable life experience.
I think so, yes.
To be able to deal and navigate most of...
It'll make every job you do afterwards seem damn easy if
you've done that.
Are they still working with 30-minute episodes, largely?
Roughly. There was one or two that's an hour long,
interesting that one thing that's changed, that streaming has changed television, is that episodes can now be of flexible lengths. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all grew up with television, which had to be half an hour, had to be an hour. And for example, the one take version in the first series was about 15 minutes.
About 17 minutes, yeah. So there is one episode that's hour long. And in that episode, if I'm remembering it correctly, there's a lot of guest appearances, which I won't reveal any of them because they appear, you're just constantly like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Speaking, Zara Hederman of Revelations, you've been watching the Ashley Madison affair. This is a documentary that dredges up the story. I was addicted to it at the time of the dating website Ashley Madison, and whose tagline at the time was "Life's short, have an affair." But of course, when that spills out, the repercussions were incredible.
Oh, it was absolutely appalling. Like, I remember this vaguely in 2015 when the hacking story came out, where they released a lot of the users' data and information. So I was really curious to see then in this three-part series just the background of Ashley Madison, how it began, who was behind it, the different kind of protocols in the office as well, users' experiences, which we do get great insights into. It is such a grubby watch to watch because obviously the subject matter is quite dark, but it's very interesting to have the kind of the background inside.
What's the tone of the piece?
It's quite mixed. So they have like a mixture of actors who are portraying or delivering users' experiences. So in that way, it kind of is almost a little trashy. So it is a kind of nice trash watch documentary, But crucially, the information that is revealed is so harrowing, especially when we get to the aftermath of how some people whose data was released, how they, had very tragic outcomes.
Very tragic outcomes.
There was several cases of people dying by suicide because of it, because they were so ashamed and embarrassed of their family and their colleagues finding out. We also got a very good insight into the former CEO, Doug Biederman, who is just an atrocious character throughout this. And very little actually is kind of known of him post the hacking scandal. They did, I think, reach out to try and interview him, but his lawyers just were like, no. They had given a statement to say that his wife had stood by him, that he's just trying to like process through the whole experience. I do highly recommend this watch. Now, it is something that you can casually, it's probably not the right word, but you can watch it on the couch while you're doing other bits. Like, the information does seep in.
I will be setting aside, removing all things. I just want to get you finally, Donald, because if people haven't seen it, the absolutely brilliant Once Upon a Time in Northern Ireland, there is going to be a chance for people to catch up next Thursday on RTÉ1.
Yeah, I mean, we get into a mindset that if you miss something, it'll always be available on the streaming service or a catch up, and forget that this plan doesn't work if the show is on, say, BBC and you live here. I did miss it first time round, so I'm not mentioning this as a recommendation, something that I've seen, but it's something that I suddenly realised I'd missed three episodes off and couldn't catch up. So I'm delighted to say it is showing on RTÉ on
Thursday.
Because you
lived in Belfast.
I lived in Belfast, and I'm just about old enough to remember the troubles starting. I'm of that age where I'm old enough to remember them starting, but not really old enough to remember life without them, if you know what I mean. I have this sort of vague, hazy memories of the civil rights marches and then the violence that followed that. So,
but brilliant, because what they did was they trained the lens on the people. It was about their lives,
right,
and their lived experiences, and it has deservedly won so much acclaim. But unfortunately, that is all I have time for. As always, it goes so quickly. Irish Times film correspondent Donald Clark and freelance pop culture journalist Zara Hederman. And that is it for today. You can listen back to all of the conversations from today's show on the RTÉ radio app. Today's show was produced by Penny Hart. Research was by Katrina McFadden. Stephen Higgins was the broadcast coordinator, and Mark McGrath was on sound. The series producer is Tessa Delahanty. Thanks for being with us, and we'll be back with you next week.
Brendan O'Connor on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. Open your mind to a new way of living. Timberliving.ie.